When the man came to Jesus and said, "Good master." And he said, "Don't call me good." He says, "Only one good, and that's God. There's only one good, and that's God." And we use that word good. You know, we're comparing that to, when we say good, Jesus said, "There's only one that's good, that's God." Amen. And this is a manifestation of his wonderful goodness. He would not tell me what he was going to do today. He would not tell. I'm so glad he didn't. Because then, you see, if I would have known, then I would have anticipated that, and I would have known it was going to happen, and it just wouldn't have been as much of a blessing for me as it was. And so I think maybe he spoiled me for the last couple. You remember a couple of weeks ago I told you he had given me four messages and I only had two opportunities to preach all four. And then last week, and I came into the service last Sunday morning, and I had the morning message. I knew exactly what God was going to do, and he had shown me the service. I knew what he was going to do in the evening. I had it all together. But it was so good. And today he's taking me back through again to see whether I have learned my lesson. So as we came today, I didn't know what he was going to do. I didn't have the foggiest idea. Didn't even have the seed of an idea for a message. But I knew that God would do what he wanted to do today, and that's what I want him to do. Don't you? Amen. Don't you really want God to move the way he wants to move? So we're going to share a little bit of word this morning that I feel that the Lord would have us do based on some things he's done and said.
Today with tongues and interpretation and prophecy in volume. One of the things that he's speaking to us this morning is that he's doing a work in many of us. That there are changes that are going on in our lives. And while so many of you were down here around the altar waiting before the Lord, the Lord spoke through the word of prophecy and said that those things that are going on in your life are of God, that he's making changes in your life in order to bring you to the place where he wants to bring you. And as he was speaking that, I couldn't help but think of this 18th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Most of us, when the Spirit of God begins to move in us, and it is the Holy Spirit that is doing the changing, because, you know, we have said from time to time, God's Word says that the purpose that God has for you and for me as Christians is for us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That we are changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of God that dwells in us. Over in Philippians, the second chapter, we're told that it's the Spirit of God that's in us to work and to will of His own good pleasure. You've heard me say from time to time from this pulpit that we are not our own, according to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, but we belong to God. We were bought with a price. We were not redeemed with silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. God Almighty gave His only begotten Son. His blood was shed as the purchase price for you and me. And when we come into the kingdom of God, we come in of our own free will. God has never gotten behind anybody and whipped him with a whip in order to drive him into the kingdom of God. He always calls, he draws, he pulls, he encourages, he exhorts, but he never drives or whips anybody against his will into the kingdom of God. You cannot be coerced into the kingdom of God. You can't be coerced. You can only come of your own free will. If you could be coerced, God would have already coerced the whole world into his kingdom and brought this age to an end. He already would have coerced your lost relatives and your lost friends. He would have already forced them into the kingdom of God so he could bring this wickedness to an end and usher in the fullness of his kingdom. We know that's what he wants to do. Jesus said when they asked him, "How should we pray?" The disciples said, "Teach us how to pray." He says, "Well, I'll tell you how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." What is the will of God? That the way it is in heaven, that's the way he wants it on the earth. And we were told to pray that way. All right, how is it in heaven? Is there any sin up there? Is there any wickedness up there? Is there any unrighteousness up there? Is there any sorrow up there? Is there any pain or any mourning up there? Anything like that? Any emotional disturbances? Anything? Any fear? Any tears? Any death? No. All those things are going to pass away, you see. We get to heaven when the kingdom of God comes to earth. It will be the same way. We know what God's will is, what his desire is. How is he going to get that done then in us? We come into the kingdom of God of our own free will. We say, "Yes, Jesus, I will no longer permit Satan to be the Lord of my life. And until you know Jesus Christ, Satan is your Lord, whether you know it or not. He's the boss over you, he rules over you, and you are his child until you change families. And the way you change families is through the new birth. You be born of the Spirit of God, and you become a child of God. So many today are saying that we talk about the brotherhood of man, that we are all children of God. We're created children of God. No, we're not. We are born into this world children of the devil. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. We come in as children of the devil. John said, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. We become a child of God when we take Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that changes us on the inside. We become a brand new creature inside. We receive the new birth. We have the nature now of God, eternal life on the inside of us. Spiritually, we are a brand new person. And the world, you see, in the instant, you're unsaved 1 minute, you say, Jesus, come into my life, and now you're saved and you're born again. The change didn't take place on the outside. It took place on the inside. And those that know you probably don't even see anything different about you. Now, what God's desire is that life that's on the inside of you in your spirit should begin to flow out of your spirit into your body, into your mind, into your circumstances, so that others would see Jesus in you. That's why it's the Spirit of God, you see, that's in you, working the will of His own good pleasure, conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ. And likely the first few things that happen after you're saved is you start smiling instead of growling. And someone might say, what has happened to you? You know, someone might pick up on that. What are you so happy about? Well, let me tell you. And he's beginning to tell them. That's the first kind of you begin to see some joy, maybe some peace, begin some love where there used to be hatred. Love takes its place. Instead of agitation comes forgiveness. We're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And it's God that's doing that work. Oftentimes, however, as Christians, we don't like the work that God's doing. We don't like Him changing us. We like it just the way we are. Jeremiah, speaking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, says something about that particular process. And let me read it to you. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, this is the first verse, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. In other words, he had a piece of clay on there, he's making a pot. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. I believe that's the word that God is saying to us today. As the clay is in the hand of the potter, and a potter has the right to do with that clay whatsoever he wants to do. If he wants to make a short, fat pot out of it, if he wants to make a tall, skinny pot out of it, if he wants to make a pot to pour the very best, or if he wants to make a pot to hold the garbage. Whatever kind of pot the potter needs, whatever kind of pot he wants to make, it's his right to do so. It's his clay, he bought it. It's his wheel, he's the one that's running it. And it's his hands that are on the lump of clay to form it into the shape and for the purpose with which he wants. Jeremiah is saying under the anointing of the Lord, that's the way it is with the people of God. You and I, beloved, are a piece of clay on God's wheel. And God's hands are his Holy Spirit. And his hands press this way in order to put this kind of a shape to us. And then they mold this way in order to make us look a certain way. And he presses and he shapes and he makes designs on it. and makes the pot the way he wants to make it because he knows what the purpose is that he's intended for you. Now, if you're like me, if you're like I used to be, let me confess it that way. If you're like I used to be, when he would begin to, have you ever seen a potter work on the wheel? And what he does is he wants to make the pot a little smaller at the neck, and he squeezes in there with his thumb. And the clay begins to, kind of give, like that, in order to form a different shape. Well, it's all right on the clay, you see, because a poor inanimate object, and it can't cry out. But when the Holy Spirit, the hand of God, begins to press in on you and press in on me, we begin to, oh, whoa, oh, no. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that shape. I don't want to look like that. I like it just how I am. Now, the Spirit of God is saying to us today, the shape that you are in is going to change. It's going to change. Now, there isn't any option there. It's going to change. How many of you have been conformed perfectly to the image of Jesus? Let me see your hands. One or two fools have given a little bit of this. You get the point. If you're not conformed to the image of Jesus yet, and you know that's what God wants to do with you, then you better get ready for some pressure. You better get ready for some pressure. God's going to apply the pressure. He will apply it in your circumstances. He will apply it through other people. Sometimes people will say something to us, you know, they'll, you know, in love, brother, I'd like to tell you this. You know, this something that you're doing is not quite right. We say, what do you mean? Talk to me like that. And sometimes we don't recognize it's the finger of God, you see. It's the finger of the Holy Spirit working through that individual, trying to change our shape, trying to shape us a little differently. So the option is not whether we're going to change shape. You're all going to change shape. I'm going to change shape. Our lives are changing. Daily they are changing. This is the option. How much pressure does God have to apply to get you changed? Now, if you are soft and malleable and pliable, real juicy piece of clay, in other words, it takes only a simple little touch by the thumb of the Holy Spirit of God to cause you to change your shape, and you feel, ooh, yeah. Yes, yes. And you are trusting in God, you see. Your shield of faith is out there. You have your trust and your confidence in God. He says, move a little this way. He says, okay, Lord, everything's cool. I'm in peace, you see. And you're rejoicing in all of your circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord always, he said, didn't he? All the time, even when the pressure is on. So you yield to that pressure. And even while the conforming is going on, you're rejoicing and praising and magnifying God and having a glorified good time. But suppose you're a piece of clay that's been sitting in your chair for a while. You hadn't been reading your word. You hadn't been praying, especially hadn't been praying in the Holy Ghost. You hadn't really been serving God. You'd kind of been occupying space in the kingdom of God. And there's not much water in your clay anymore. Now, in order to get you to change shape, he got to put the squeeze on. Hey? Suppose you've been sitting there for so long that you're all dried out. Do you know what God's got to do to you? When he tries to squeeze you, there's no give in you. You say, oh no, I'm not squeezing. I'm not moving. I like the shape I am. I'm going to tell you what God's going to do to you. He's going to get his mallet out. And he won't squeeze you, brother or sister. He will break you. And then he will pour water on you of his Holy Spirit the way he wants you, and he'll begin to form you up from a base old lump. So you can either change a little bit gradually and joyfully and peacefully do it, or you can let him smack you with a mallet. Wind up as a bunch of broken pieces on his wheel. Let him dump a little water on you and begin to start all over again. Those are the options. Okay? Those are the options. Now what God's doing here this morning is filling people with the Holy Spirit so that this work of changing and conforming is much more rapid in their lives and much easier in the undergoing. God's desire for us is to be like Jesus. He's our example. He's our example. And the Lord says in His Word that He never slumbers nor sleeps. That means that there is never a time that you can say, oh, bless God, He's not working on me now, He's sleeping. Now, why does He change you? Why does He want you conformed? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect man. He is the whole, complete. He is man. He is human being in exactly the fullness that God intended from the beginning. And God doesn't want to knock you down from what you are. He wants to build you up from what you are. He wants to take you from where you are, no matter what your level. He wants to take you from there, and He wants to grow you into the image of Jesus Christ. That's done by the power of His Spirit. I've had folks say to me, when you talk to them about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and about the fullness of the Spirit, and they'll say, well, I have the Holy Ghost. I know that the Holy Ghost is in me, and He's already working in me. I don't speak in tongues or anything, but I know that the Holy Spirit is in me, and I have a ministry for God. I work for God. I do a tremendous, you know, God does tremendous things through me. And that's all valid. That's all valid. You don't have to speak in tongues to serve God. But oh, bless the Lord. Wherever you are in your relationship with God, and wherever you are in your service for God, yielding to more of the Holy Spirit in your life, yielding more of yourself to the control of the Holy Spirit, will just cause you to go from where you are, whether it's here or here, here. It doesn't matter where you are. More of you yielded to the power of God will enable God to do more in you. That's why He did all this here this morning. He wants us all to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the last chapter of the book of Luke, just before Jesus ascended to be with His Father, He had gathered with His disciples. And He said in the 49th verse of Luke chapter 24, He said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. He said, you're my disciples, you're my witnesses, you belong to me, you're doing my work, but I want you to be endued with the power to get it done. I want you to have the fullness of my ability in your life, and that comes from the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father will come upon you. Over in Acts, the very first chapter of the book of Acts, in the early verses, is a continuation of that discourse just before Jesus ascended to the Father. And He said in verse number 4, Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That's the promise of the Father, to be baptized, to be immersed in the Holy Spirit, not to receive a measure of the Spirit, not to be born again of the Spirit, but to be immersed in the Spirit. That's the promise of the Father. And then in the 8th verse, He said this, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that is the enabling to serve Christ, to live for Christ, and to be conformed to the image of Christ. If someone asked me to build a doghouse, I didn't have any tools to build the doghouse with, but I wanted to please that person, I'd go out, I'd try to build that doghouse best way I knew how. But if he came along and he said, hey, Vic, here's a hammer and a saw. Now you will find out that this will give you the ability to make a good doghouse. I wouldn't say I don't want it. That would be stupid, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be foolish. I said, oh, yeah, is that right? Show me how it works. Well, with a saw you go this way, and with a hammer you go this way. And this is how, oh, good, well, let me have it. Well, it's the same way with the promise of God. He says, here I am building you a holy habitation for God in the Spirit. I'm conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ. You are a building with the apostles, the foundation. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. A place for God to dwell. Here is the Holy Spirit. Build it with that. Oh, okay. And with the Holy Spirit, it doesn't go like this or like this. It goes like Ashumanovitakandabuya. See? See? It's the equipping, it's the enabling that God has given to His church so that we can be molded perfectly to that image of the Lord Jesus Christ and truly be His body. Now, what man or what woman loving Jesus and in his right mind would say, I don't want your lousy tools, God. I got my own way. I'm going to scratch it out with my fingernails. It doesn't make any sense. Unfortunately, many of us have had teaching, contrary teaching, out of our past that has prevented us from being open to the fullness of God's Spirit. Well, what the Lord did today was just knocked all that old garbage out of the way. Some of you have been taught that this wasn't real, but this morning you got some of it, didn't you? Now, it's pretty hard for someone to tell you it's not real when you already got it. Is that right or not right? You see, Christianity is something you experience. It's not something someone tells you about. It's real. It's alive. You can experience the living God. We don't have our trust in some dead God. Jesus said that God is the God of the living, the God of Abraham and Jacob and Isaac. He's the God of the living, not the dead. That's the kind of a God we serve. He's a living God. And He's doing today just exactly what He said He would. He said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Blessed God. I'm so excited to be living in those days, aren't you? And to see the Word of God coming to pass. I am also blessed and excited in God that He is putting His finger on me, conforming me to His image. I have been hit with the mallet of God for the last time. Now, I believe, therefore, I have spoken. I'm speaking the future into existence here now. I don't like being hit with the mallet of God. It's not very pleasant. And I have determined that when He puts the squeeze on me, I'm going to say, oh, is that where you're squeezed? Okay, go ahead. Whatever you want, Lord. Because when you stiffen up to it, then out comes the mallet. He said, just as the potter did to this piece of clay, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in mine hands, O house of Israel. God is not interested in how smart you are. God is not interested in how able you are. God is interested in how yielded you are. He's interested in how willing you are. I think if I were God, and I were going to raise up a people to God that I would really be able to use in a mighty and wonderful way, I'd go up to Boston, Massachusetts and start a church like this where I could fill it with a bunch of brains instead of common folks like you and me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand the point I'm making? But God's reached out into the highways and the byways because all the wise people of the earth were so wise that they wouldn't come into the kingdom of God. They said, I'm not having any of that foolishness. And God used the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And He said, since they wouldn't come at His invitation, He says, go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Compel them to come in. Whomsoever way will come. And that's why you and I come into the kingdom of God at His invitation. And that's why we are here. And that's why God is working so eagerly among us to bring us to a place of broken yieldedness, simple childlike obedience, so that when the Lord God says, this is the way we do things, children, we don't say, well, explain that to me, Lord. But rather we say, oh, that's, yeah, okay. That's the way, okay. And away we go. Now that's what God is looking for. He's looking for a people, individuals, families, and a local body who will surrender themselves so completely and so absolutely to the potter's hand that regardless of what he wants to make of you or of me, that we would be willing and yielded vessels. That is the kingdom of God come. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's very good. I'm going to ask the choir if they will come now and minister their anthem, their special music. I believe they're going to do it from up here. And then we'll be dismissed if the Lord's finished.